All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you. And special welcome to our pastor, Christian. My first time meeting him, and happy for you guys. You guys have been praying for a pastor, and you've been waiting, and there's a lot of things going in the leadership, you know, that you don't know about. So finally, here he is, and I was talking to him. I asked him, how long have you been here? He said, 3 Sundays. Oh, really? You started in March? No, I started today. But then he came before, so it's good to meet him, and hopefully we'll be able to see each other a little bit more. But happy for you. You have someone to be a pastor, you know. So now you have to turn your prayer into working with him, okay? And as he is spending time with you guys and teaching you guys, you know, you have to be ready to receive the teaching from the Lord. So we've been through, you know, we're still in the process. I choose to preach through 2 Peter with you. So let me just remind you again, because I only come once a month. So there are many weeks in between. So if you still remember, I asked you to read the letter. Okay, it's only 3 chapters. Okay, so keep on reading it. You may say, oh, I'm done. Well, read it the second time. Okay, read it the third time. Keep reading it. And as you read, if you have questions, put it down on a piece of paper. You can hand it to Andrew, and he will give it to me, and hopefully I'll be able to answer some of your questions, okay? Because we, like, the message, the series is few months long. I only preach once in here. So if you don't keep on reading, you'll forget stuff, okay? So that's why the reading will hopefully bridge the gap. And as you read, I'm sure that you will have questions, okay? So put down your questions, give it to Andrew, and he'll pass it on to me, and hopefully I'll be able to answer some of the questions, okay? So today, we're going to focus on chapter 2, the entire chapter. So we are more than halfway now, after today's message. So I want to invite all of you to open up your Bible. You all have phone, right? So turn on your phone, open the Bible to 2 Peter, because from time to time, I'm going to ask you to look into your Bible. I want you to listen, but at the same time, you have your Bible in front of you. And when I ask you to look into the passage or particular verse, you can actually look into it. I want you to go in sync with the message, so that while you're listening, you're also watching, and you will reap the benefit double. Okay? All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you that we're able to be here in this place. Thank you for the freedom to worship. Thank you for the desire to worship. As I look out, you know, we have more and more people sitting in here. And it's so good that, Father, you have drawn these brothers and sisters, or even non-Christians, to come so that they will be able to be exposed to the Christian worship. We're also thankful for bringing Pastor Christian to our midst and his family. And I pray that, Father, your blessing will be upon him as he gets to know this congregation, the young people here, as he begins his ministry, you know, doing different things, preaching and doing various responsibilities. I pray that you give him wisdom, you give him the insight, you help him to get to know the people well, so that, you know, he'll be able to lead not only from your word, but also according to the people's needs here. So his teaching, his ministry will be both biblical and practical, and it will be beneficial for the entire English congregation. Lord, it is now time to look into your word, and I pray, Father, that you will bless your word. Lord, help us to understand what you're coming from, what kind of message you have for us this afternoon, so that we can take into heart and we can appreciate how you are training us, preparing us for the unknown future. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next slide. So I want to do a little review. This is the review, okay? The first pointer is the first message, which is the 11 verses of 2 Peter, chapter 1. If I summarize that verse, or 11 verse, in one word, would be consistency. You have to be consistent spiritually. What is consistent? Meaning that you do the same thing again and again and again, but not without purpose, okay? You do it with a purpose. So that when you repeat what you're doing, if you want to know, oh, what were you doing, you need to go back, you know, you have your Bible open, right? You can quickly go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. You'll be able to see all those things. There are 8 things that you have to do it repeatedly. You may ask, why? So that you can become spiritually mature. All right? Do you want to be mature? Do you always want to be looked down as kids? Physically, you're not kids anymore, right? But spiritually, how are you? Do you want to be looked upon as spiritually kids? Or, no, I'm not kids anymore. I'm a spiritual teenager. Or I'm a spiritual young adult. You know what you're telling me when you use those words? That means you're training up, you're growing. It's part of life, right? It begins a kid, baby, toddler, kid, teenager, young adult, young family, blah, blah, blah. You know, that is the way to grow. So I hope you're growing spiritually, just like physically you're growing, right? So if you want to grow spiritually, you have to be consistent. You cannot just do it once in a blue moon. That is not consistent, okay? How do you know you're consistent? You're growing, okay? Message number two. That is point number two and three. You need to focus on your action or your behavior. You don't just focus on what you say. The world is big on talk, small on actions. And sadly, church is the same. There's no difference. We talk big, we do little. Okay? In Chinese, there are various expressions, but I'm not going to use it. Okay? But we cannot afford to be this. Because if you talk big, little action, you're not really an effective follower of Jesus. People hate those people. The world hates those kind of quote-unquote Christians because you only talk, you have no action. So focus more on what you do, your behavior. If you do that, people respect you. Okay? They may not know where you're coming from at first. They may even talk in your back. But when you consistently demonstrate yourself, then they will slowly and steadily respect you. Just like, you know, when you know of, like, if I use the analogy of sports, what is the major sport that you guys play? Name one.
Hockey.
Okay, by the way, Ovechkin just broke Wayne Gretzky record this afternoon. So, yeah. Okay, so that is consistent, you know? I shouldn't say nobody. I guess you do know Wayne Gretzky, right? But now he's no longer the hockey player who scored the most. He's now a Russian, not a Canadian, okay? A Russian just took over him. So he has scored almost the same number of games as Gretzky, but he has more now. That is consistent. So when you look at Ovechkin, who just overrun, you know, overtop Gretzky, you respect him. There's no one in the hockey world would not respect him of the achievement he just had this afternoon. Okay, before I came here, I looked on the line, just saw that. So when you are consistent on a period of time, people begin to know. When people know that you're consistent, they respect you. Okay, let's say, if you always come on time, over a period of time, people respect you. But if you come on time today and then you're late, you know, later, and then you're usually late, then people will not respect you. They'll go, oh, you're a late comer, or whatever, you know, right? So, number three, you also need to know that what you're taught from the Bible is on solid footing. Why? Number one, God stands behind His word. God Himself stand behind His words. That's why you can have confidence knowing that what you have learned from the Bible is something that you can stand on. Why? God stand behind it. Number two, the entire Old Testament tradition. The entire. Talking about all the prophets, all the people who wrote the Old Testament. You can, you know, because of what? Testimony number one, God stand behind. Testimony number two, the entire Old Testament tradition. You understand what I said last time? In the Old Testament, if you want to establish a case, what do? You don't take one witness. You take how many? Minimum two or even three to make the case. Okay? You cannot just do things based on one witness, one's evidence. So Peter is giving you two. God stand behind. And the entire Old Testament tradition. So that there's two witnesses. So it makes the case. And that's why you can know for sure with confidence that what you're taught in the Bible is on solid ground. All right, so next one. Today, we're entering into chapter 2, the entire chapter. If I just give you one pointer, it will be this. Get ready for false teachers. That's what chapter 2 is talking about. It's all about false teachers. Why are we needing to talk about false teachers? It's because they are around. Oh, how do I know? Well, we will find out. But the thing is, we need, at least in our mental or in our heart, we have to prepare. We need to get ready. They're already here. They're already around you. You may or may not recognize him or her. But the thing is, they're already there. So you need to know that you're living in the end time. One of the things that happened in the end time is there's going to be a lot of false teachers. And you need to be ready for them. You don't know when they're going to show up. You don't know when you're going to meet with them. That's okay. But at least for the time being, you need to prepare. You need to get ready. Because it's just a matter of time that you will be bumped into one. Or they may even hear in the church. You don't know. So we're going to, you know, work on it. Okay, next. If you take a look at the very beginning of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Peter is already tipping you off. Let me just read that to you, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people. He was talking about the past, the Old Testament. Just as there will be false teachers among you. Now he's talking about just like what happened in the past, it's going to happen to you. He was talking to his audience, the first century Christians. If we apply this today, we're living in the end time already. Well, you know how long is the end time? The end time is more than 2,000 years. Okay? It's not just right now. The end time is more than 2,000 years long. People have been living in that 2,000 years. We have been in the end time. We're still in the end time. One of the things that what happened when we live in the end time is you're going to bump into, there's going to be false teachers. This is what Peter is talking about. So at the very beginning of the chapter, he's already saying that. Now, let me connect that to you. Remember what I said? Chapter 1, verses 1 to 11 is about consistency. At that part of the letter, if you ask why you need to be consistent, I already answered the question, is so that you will be spiritually mature. Now, if we take that and apply that in chapter 2, you get a different answer. Why do I need to be consistent? It's so that you'll be able to spot false teachers. You understand what I'm saying? The key to distinguish, the key to discern what is or what is not false teacher is you know what is real. You don't study the false teacher. At least you don't spend all your time studying false teachers or false teachers. That is not the smart way. The smart way is study what is real. Then if you ask what is real in 2 Peter is, going back to chapter 1, the first 11 verses, those are the real thing. Study those. Be good at those. And as you are being trained and being prepared, then naturally, when false teacher or false teaching comes up, when you have interact with either false teachers and false teaching, then naturally the light will come on. Why? Because you have been prepared, because you've been brought up with the real thing. Anything that is not real, the light comes on. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the first 11 verses in 2 Peter chapter 1 is so important. Because now that we're in chapter 2, the second answer of being spiritually mature is so that you'll be able to distinguish, you'll be able to determine, you'll be able to point out false teachers and false teaching. Okay. All right. Now, I have here you need to go back, okay, if you're interested. Last month, when I talked to you about, you know, 2 Peter, if you take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, at that time, God spoke through Moses, and Moses taught the Israelite how to tell a false prophet. I'm not going to go back there, okay? I give you the reference. You can take a photo or whatever. If you're interested, go home and read it. Now, I give you another example. An example is taken from Jeremiah chapter 28. Again, you need to go home and read that. I just summarized what was going on. There's this guy. He was not a false prophet. He was a prophet. His name is Hananiah, maybe. Okay, I may be wrong, okay? Let me see. Yeah, his name was Hananiah in Jeremiah chapter 28. He was not a false prophet, okay? However, in that chapter, he spoke as if he was receiving word from God because he was already a prophet, okay? So he spoke as if God talked to him and used him to give the congregation a message. And the message is, oh, we're going to have peace. We're going to beat the Babylonians. We're going to take our country back, blah, blah, blah. So he spoke as if he was really a prophet. He was a prophet. You know, on the surface, you cannot tell, you know. But the thing is, in the story, in that chapter, God did not give Hananiah that message. But he spoke it anyway as if God gave him the message. And Jeremiah said, oh, whoa, what you said is good. You know, may God fulfill what you are saying. And then after that, God told Jeremiah, Hananiah, he spoke, but the message did not come from me. So when a prophet, even though he was a prophet, when he spoke a message, as if God was speaking through him, but the reality was, it was not. Then God sent Jeremiah to confront Hananiah. And at the end of the chapter, he died. Jeremiah said, you're going to die within a year. And six or seven months later, Hananiah died. That is how serious. If God didn't give you the message, and you just speak to people as if God has given you the message, then you are responsible for what is going on. Just like what you see in Hananiah, Jeremiah chapter 28. Okay, that is an example. Okay, let's move on. Next. So now we want to really help you. Okay? We want to go to Jesus. If you go to Matthew 24, verses 4 to 5, Jesus already said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. That is a sign of a false prophet. They will say, I am the Messiah. I am blah, 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 blah. And then the whole intent is deception. Jesus said that. Paul, in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 31, you have this on the screen. Paul said to a group of elders from Ephesus, and he told them, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, meaning the church, even from your own numbers. And these prophets are not just coming from the outside. They're also coming from within. Okay? And even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. So Paul was already giving that warning to the elders from Ephesus. One more. John. Okay. It should be John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. You don't see that because it's in the bottom. Okay, so the reference is 1 John 2:18. This is what the Apostle John said, okay? Dear children, this is the last hour. He was talking about the last hour in his time, 2,000 years before, okay? As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists, plural, have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. So Jesus, Paul, the Apostle John, has been tipping their believers off. And today, they have been tipping us off. Now you can add 2 Peter chapter 2 to it. Okay? So this is not something out of the blue. This is something that Jesus talked about it, Paul talked about it, the Apostle John talked about it, and today, Peter talked about it, and other Greek apostles. Okay? So, let's take a look at, so if you ask, okay, now I understand what you're trying to say, but I want to ask one more question, you know, how can I tell? How can I tell either false teachers or false teachings? So, next slide. Right. The key word is behavior. Again, not just what they say. Don't just focus simply on what these people say. They talk nice. They're very attractive. Remember what Jesus, one of the words that Jesus used the previous slide? He said the word deception. When the people want to deceive you, they're going to put out a very nice things on the outside. They're going to talk nice. So if you only focus on the person's speech or the way the speech is given, then you are susceptible to be deceived. Jesus said, or Peter said, Jesus, Peter saying the same thing. What do you focus on? Behavior. Okay? Behavior. It's not only what the person said. It's after what the person said, does the person follow what he says? You hear the logic? Okay? If I tell you something, I'm not doing it, am I a true prophet? Yes or no? Come on. If I say something, but I do something else, am I genuine or false?
False.
If I say something, I follow through, I do what I say, what about this? Genuine. Okay, you get the point now, all right? Let me give you one more thing. Jesus said, good tree will not bear bad fruit. Bad tree will not bear good fruit. Always remember that. That is about behavior. Fruits, okay? So in chapter 2, even though there are a lot of things, I just want to highlight a few. So we can use that as a reference point to build up to build up your discernment. Okay, so how can we spot false teachers? We understand that we have to zero in on their behavior, but what kind of behavior are we talking about? Number one, in chapter 2, verse 1, the latter half of the verse, the key word is secret. Secret. They don't do things under the light. They secretly do things. They do things secretly. Do you know why? Because when their things being exposed under the sun, what will happen? People will know it. So that's why they have to do it under the dark, under the table, secretly. They have to. Otherwise, you'll be able to spot right away. You understand? That is part of deception, is to do things or speak things or lead you in a very secret or very, very tricky way. All right? So that is part of behavior. That's how you train to spot false teachers. They do things secretly. They would say, let me tell you some secrets. You know, the Bible, they have a lot of secrets. You know, not many people know all the secrets. Only handful of people. You know, you are the selected one. Let me tell you part of the secret from the Bible. If you hear things like that, secretly, your light should go on. Okay? I'm not saying that it's totally right or wrong, but at least your light comes on. Anything that is done secretly. Okay? Another one. Greed is another one. Greed. Greedy for what? Well, greedy for attention. Greedy for your loyalty. Greedy for money. Okay? I have heard this. It's not a good thing. It's about pastors. I've heard this real life. This is not fake, okay? This is real. But I'm just using it as an illustration. Okay? You know, sometimes you take pastor out for a meal, right? You know, I'm not talking about you pay for the bill. Okay, and this illustration is about the person say, can we go to the Korean barbecue? Or can we go to the steakhouse? You know, that person is not just after you paying the bill, that person is also directing you what kind of food he wants. That is greed. That's greed, right? So, greed. But greed is not just limited to money. Greed also limited to attention. False teacher want all your attention.
They want all your loyalty. They don't want your loyalty to some other people. They don't want competitions. When you compare this person with that person, if that is a false one, that person will be mad. He doesn't want to be compared. He doesn't want to be competing. He wants everything from you. He wants your attention, he wants your money, he wants everything. Okay? Greed. You don't know that at first. That's why you have to live with that person for a while. But while you're living with that person for a while, you're slowly being deceived. That is the very difficult thing, right? You're spending time with the person, you have no suspicion at first, but you're slowly being deceived, and if you're not smart or if you're not spiritually mature, you will be deceived without even knowing it. Okay? So, secretly, greed, adultery, okay? Seduce, okay? So these are the key words. Another one, boastful. Okay, let me ask you a question. Is boasting good or bad? How many say boasting is bad? How many say boasting is good? Oh, come on. Come on.
It depends how you boast.
Exactly. Boasting itself is neutral. So when you ask, is boasting good? Well, if you're boasting about God, that's good. You should boast about God. What is boasting about God? You give God the credit. Like something happened to you, you publicly stand up and say, I want to thank God for what he has done in my life, or what happened to me lately, or he healed me. I want to give testimony in front of people. I want to give God the credit. I want to boast about what God has done to me. That is good. Good boasting. What is bad boasting? What is not good boasting? Huh? Yeah, boast about myself. False teacher, the boasting is bad. Why? Because they want attention on themselves. How good am I? How perfect I am? I'm the best teacher. I'm the best of everything. You know, you should look up to me, right? You should worship me. Like when you have a leader or even a pastor like that, you have to watch out. A pastor or leader, I mean, he's talking about a spiritual leader, pastor. A spiritual leader is supposed to lead you to Jesus, not lead you to him or her. Okay? That's not to put down our strength. That is not to put down our giftedness, okay? We should acknowledge, we should be thankful for all the good things that God has given us. But all these good things coming from where? From who? From God. So when people are praising you because of the legitimate good things that you bring, okay, you should be thankful, but never forget, while you're thanking people, turn people's attention to who? God. You don't turn people's attention to you. If you're doing that, you're already drifting away. You understand what I'm saying? So these are some of the things, even though I know that there are a lot of things in the chapter, but I try to summarize things, okay? So some of the behavior problem. They do things secretly. They are very greedy. They seduce people. They may have some moral, immoral behavior, and they're very boastful. So these are the telltale signs over a period of time that you can see. If people or a person has that kind of behavior over a certain period of time, your light should come on. Okay? You should be careful. If you're not careful, then you will be deceived. Okay? All right, next slide. Okay. 2 Peter also talked about the final outcome. The final outcome is, even though they may be very deceiving, deceptive, but Peter is just as clear about the outcome. And if you take a look at chapter 2, verse 1c, 3b to 9, there's so many verses here, okay? It's all about the outcome. And I want to direct your attention. If you're reading that
Now you should open your Bible by now. If the version that you're reading is NIV, then you will see the following things that I want to point out, okay? Now, verse 4, for if God, you see that? Verse 5, if he, meaning God. Verse 6, if he, God. Verse 7, if he, meaning God. Verse 9, if this is so. Do you see how many ifs there? Do you know why there are so many ifs? Let me just read one of them to you. Verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. That is just verse 4. You have to read verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8. All these ifs is talking about again and again and again. If God didn't spare these people, if God did this, if God did this, if God did this, what do you think God will do with these false teachers and false teaching? You get the point? So those ifs are giving you the assurance. If this is what God had done, if this is what God had done, if this is what God did, then he is going to take care of these false teachers and false teaching too. So their ending is already sort of like writing on the walls. The ending is not a if, okay? The ending is for certain. That's why you should see so many ifs. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. The doom of these false teachers and false teaching is for certain. You need to know that. Okay? Even though we're talking about, oh, they are very deceptive. Well, but at the same time, Peter also say the ending is also for sure. They're going to be doomed. They will be. It's just a matter of time. Okay? But the certainty is already on the wall. Figurative speak. Okay? So, if we read, for example, the warning, chapter 2, verse 1, MSG, which is the Message Bible, they put themselves on a fast downhill slide to destruction, but not before they recruit a crowd of mixed-up followers who can't tell right from wrong. Okay? They already know that they're doomed. But in their last attempt, while they're going down, they want to bring people down with them. The question is, will you be one of those people that these false teachers are bringing down with them to be doomed? Your job is not to allow these people to bring you down with them. And you may ask, what do I do? Well, go back to chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Be consistent, living out that kind of lifestyle, and then you'll be less susceptible. You'll be less being brought down with the false teachers. Okay, next slide. All right, so the true color behind false teachers is there's a lot of imagery. There are a lot of imagery in 2 Peter chapter 2, okay? As you read, you will expose to these images. Like, for example, they use the word, okay, a dog goes back to its own vomit, and a scrub-up pig heads for the mud. That is an imagery. Just to give you an idea, a picture to tell you truth, okay? So there are a lot of imagery. Talking about the clouds with no rain, that kind of thing is imagery. Meaning, there's no substance in them. There's no substance. No substance in the person. There's no substance in the teaching. Everything is empty. Like, it is as if you eat something, you're still hungry. You drink something, you're still thirsty. That is called no substance. Okay? Sometimes, when you hear something, like for example, if you hear a sermon with substance, you feel that I'm full. You feel full after a very a message with content. A message with substance.
Sometimes when you hear a message, you have heard the message, but you still leave the church. How come I'm still empty? How come, you know, it's just as if you're not being fed. It is because the message that you heard, there's no substance or little substance to it. You don't feel full. It's sort of like you eat something, you're supposed to you feel full, right? But if you eat, I don't know, it doesn't have to be junk food. Some junk food can also feed you too. But let's say you eat something that have no nutritious, you know, value, and it just give you a moment of full, and then after, let's say, half an hour, I'm hungry again. That means that food cannot sustain you for some time. This is what happened to false teacher and the teaching. They give you only an instant fix, but very soon you feel full again, you feel hungry again, you feel thirsty again. That is the true color behind the false teacher, because there's no substance in them as people. There's no substance in what they say in speeches or sermons. Okay, next one. All right, so we're going to end our message with this. This is another way of helping us understand, okay? According to 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 19. The apostles say this. He said, "Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that we are in the last hour." Talking about the Antichrist or false teachers now. They went out from us, meaning these people came out from Christian communities. Okay? They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. So these people came out from Christian communities, but technically they are not part of the Christian community. And then the Apostle John explained why. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. It's the remaining. If you are truly genuine Christians, then you will continue to belong in a Christian group. Okay? You may have belonged to a Christian group, but then for whatever reason you left. And you didn't just leave, but your belief is totally opposite of that Christian group. Guess what? Who changed? You change. And you become Antichrist. You become false teachers. If you check, or if you have studied Christian histories, I think the majority of the heretics that we call today, if you study Christian history, a lot of heretics today, they all at one point being part of the Christian group. Okay? In fact, I tell you, these people, before they left the Christian groups, many of them, or a lot of them, quite a lot of them, they were leaders in the church before they left. The scary part is they were leaders, they were Christian leaders in the Christian church. But then they left. And now they become heretics. You see what I'm saying? The scary part is this. These are leaders. And then when they turn their back on the Christian doctrines, the Christian beliefs, now they become heretics. Let me give you one more example and then I'll close. Have you heard of a heretic called Marcion? Probably not. So, what is so heretic about this? Well, this guy called Marcion, okay, after he turned his back on Christianity, he stopped believing the Old Testament. In fact, he go further than that. He said that any Old Testament-related material in the New Testament, like, for example, Hebrews, James, he didn't believe it. He only believed in the New Testament. But while he is saying, I believe in the New Testament, but I don't believe in Hebrews. Hebrews is part of the New Testament. Anything that is Old Testament related or theme, even in the New Testament, Marcion said, no. I only believe in the New Testament. That's why he's a heretic. The last we call even in your Bible, the Bible on your phone, they come with Old Testament and New Testament, right? It's not just New Testament. We believe in the Old and the New Testaments. Even though, yeah, certain things in the Old Testament, it does not apply to us. But to push that thing to the envelope, to the extreme and say, well, the Old Testament has nothing that we can learn from, it's just too far. It's just heretic. We believe in Old and New Testaments. Okay? That's why the Bible on the phone, it comes with Old Testament and New Testament. Anyone who tells you, we only believe in the New Testament, we don't believe in the Old Testament, your light should come on. Of course, they will not like me, just tell you flat out, but they will do it secretly. That's why you need to be trained. That's why you need to be equipped, because your enemy does not fight against you. It's sort of like Israel and Hamas. It's sort of like, okay, you know, one is in the light, one is in the dark. They don't wear uniform. They don't tell you they're in the midst of the civilians. And when you kill one of the Hamas, you kill other civilians at the same time. That is the war that you fight against. Your enemy is very deceiving. It's very subtle. And you're trained to differentiate who is Hamas, who is the Palestinian. You kill the Hamas, but you try to stay away from the Palestinian. But it's hard to do. It's so easy to say than done. Okay? You have to be very highly trained, like the Israeli soldiers. And even as they are as highly trained as them, they make mistakes. Okay? If you're not highly trained, you have no chance. You're gonna kill everyone. Everyone dies. Whether you're Hamas or Palestinian, you all die because you're not trained to spot who is Hamas, who is, you know. So the same thing. You have to be trained. You have to practice. You have to be consistent. So that once you get familiar with what is real, what is true, what is genuine, when you have interaction with what is false, then naturally the light will come out. Again, focus on the behavior. I give you a few examples already. Greed, do things secretly, boastful. Okay, very tricky. Okay, seduce people. Those are the telltale signs that you are facing against a false teacher or false teaching. So you have to be aware, not only for yourself, you also have to look after the group, your group. Okay, you don't just make sure that you're safe. That is for sure. But at the same time, you also make sure that your group is safe. You watch out for one another, because in the group, not everyone is up to the toe. It's going to be differences. So you have to help one another. Just like they need to help you, you need to help them. You need to help one another as a group so that you'll be safe. The whole group will be safe. It will not be brought down. It will not be dragged down along with the false teacher to hell. Okay? So that is what happened in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the very, very quick way of looking at this chapter, even though we're just touching the surface. But I pray that, Father, we have enough information to begin with. And thank you for letting us know that, you know, living in the end time, whether you like it or not, we're going to bump into false teachers. We're going to be exposed to false teaching. And the issue is not whether we will or we will not. The real issue is, before we come into contact with one of these people, are we ready? Are we being well trained? Are we being prepared to face them so that we know what to do? And as soon as we identify the false teacher and the false teaching, we have to stay away. Stay away from them so that we will not be deceived. We will not be brought down to hell along with them. So help us to have new appreciation for what Peter is writing to us in 2 Peter. We have one more chapter to go, but we believe that, Lord, you will continue to teach us your truth and make us not only aware, but preparing us for living a good life for you in the end time. For that, we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so
We're going to have communion. The way I do communion is I like to instead of